Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you here this morning. On Wednesday morning, we had our prayer meeting and Bible study. And I was quite shocked because Ray introduced us to the passage I've been thinking about for about 5 weeks, which at first got me a bit stirred up. But I must admit, what we discussed together then and what I have to share to you, I'm sure we'll come together. So if the two or three of you that were there on Wednesday morning, I apologise for this, but I hope you will get something from it, and I'm sure the rest of you will. Because we've been looking at the Psalms on a Wednesday morning, and Ray introduced us to the most familiar of all Psalms, probably the most familiar chapter in the Bible, Psalm 23. And it isn't known when David wrote this psalm, whether it was as a shepherd boy, guarding his father's sheep, or later in life as the king of Israel. I tend to think it was later in life when he had experienced the ups and downs of life. He has seen the Lord leading him through what he saw as the good times and the bad times. And so this morning we're going to look at Psalm 23. But before we look at the psalm, I'm going to ask Christine if she'll just read it for us. It's page 555 in the Church Bibles, if you want to follow it. Thanks, Christine.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Thanks very much, Christine. Shall we just bow in prayer before we look at that chapter? Oh Lord, we've just had read to us the most familiar, probably the most familiar chapter in the whole of the Bible. It is a very precious portion to us, as all your word is, but this psalm seems to just speak to us so individually, so personally. And we ask this morning, as I look at the at these verses that we've just read, that each one of us might be drawn to you as our shepherd, as our saviour, that we might know you and know that everything that you give to us is delightful, it causes us to rejoice, but it means that we will never, never want. We'll never be short of anything that we need, and we thank you for this. So bless us as we consider this chapter together, and bless it to our souls, we pray this morning, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, as Julie Andrews sang, we'll start at the very beginning. It's a very good place to start. And, we'll start at the beginning of this psalm because it's the first phrase that really sets this whole psalm for us. The psalmist here, David, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." This was David's confidence. It was the Lord who was his shepherd, and there was no doubt about it. He had every confidence in who was leading him and who had control in all that took place. Doesn't this remind us of the words of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 10, when he introduced himself as the good shepherd, who he could say knew his sheep, and also he could say that he lays down his life for the sheep. You know, the New Testament is full of metaphors of Jesus as a shepherd. And truly, when we read this psalm, our thoughts go to the Lord Jesus Christ, all that he has done for us and how he keeps us close to himself all the time as the good shepherd. In Hebrews 13, verse 20, we read, "May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of his of the sheep, equip you with every good thing, for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. And also in 1 Peter 5 verse 4 we read, when the chief shepherd appears, you shall receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Is your confidence in Jesus as your Saviour, as your shepherd this morning, who, first of all, in John chapter 10 we read, who gave his life for you. In Hebrews we read about God raising him from the dead. And then in Peter we read that one day he will receive you unto himself in heaven itself, where he'll always be with us. I would say that that portion in Peter, it's a good chapter for elders to read. I'm not going to speak on eldership this morning. But when we think who our chief shepherd is, whether we're elders of the church, whether we're members of the church, whether we're just visiting the church here, we know that he is the chief shepherd, the one who we put all our trust in. And this is what David felt when he started. It was his confidence in Jesus that he felt in his heart. It was his confidence in the Lord as his shepherd. And as we read this, we read that David was certainly, David's certainty was that he could go on to say, I shall not want. Eric reminded us last week that we should be content in the Lord. Well, I think from this psalm here, we can see that David was content in all that the Lord gave him. And nothing seemed to be missing in his life at this stage. I was reminded of the words of a hymn we sing quite often. Whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Can you say with confidence this morning, I shall not be in want? The Lord provides all that you need, and nothing we can desire for ourselves can compare with this. Every good thing he gives to us, nothing bad does he give us at all. And many of the things we anchor after, when we think about them seriously, they won't do us any good or won't really develop us in our life. But all that the Lord gives us, it really does help us and guide us through our life. He laid down his life for us to reconcile us to God. If we believe that and trust in Jesus, then you can say with great confidence, I shall not be in want. Then David goes on to say how precious his Saviour is in every walk of life. He makes him lie down in green pastures to satisfy his hunger, and he leads him beside still refreshing waters to quench his thirst. When he is weary, he restores his soul. When he would go off on his own, the shepherd guides him along the right paths. Is this your experience in following and serving your shepherd, the Lord Jesus? Is he the one who satisfies every longing of your soul, who quenches your thirst to such an extent that you don't look to other things to bring enjoyment in your life, because nothing compares to where he can lead us and take us? When you find the going hard and wonder if you can carry on, does he restore your longing to serve him, whatever the cost? And do you trust him to guide you in the right paths always? Jesus said he was the right way to go at all times. You remember what he said to the disciples just before he went to the cross on Calvary? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He said there that he was the way that we should, the right way for us to go, to follow him in all our ways, because his ways are best. And when we are led, restored and guided in his ways, we do it all because of his great love for us, and in a smaller but still beautiful way, because of our love and our trust in him. Have we been encouraged this morning so much, haven't we, at the beginning of our meeting, but through Andrew, to rejoice in the Lord and to give thanks to him. And we do it because he does so much for us, doesn't he? He's given us so much. Let's never forget to rejoice in the Lord, to be thankful to him for all that he has done for us. And though our love might seem weak at times, if you show your love to the Lord Jesus, oh, how he will reach out to you and bless you, and how he will draw himself to you because he's always with us. Then the mood of this psalm changes somewhat, doesn't it? David is no longer in a pleasant, safe situation where he is provided for in a satisfying manner. He knew what it was to experience dark times in his life. We always think of David as that strong king, but throughout his life there were always those who were against him. He knew what it was for his brothers to be jealous of him. Right as a young boy, his brothers were jealous of him. He knew what it was to feel the hatred and the threat of death from King Saul. He knew the treachery from those who he thought he could trust, even in his own family, when you think of how Absalom turned against him and tried to take the throne from him. And he at times let himself down, didn't he, by his own actions, and God had to bring him to that place of repentance and restoration. Yes, David didn't have it all so easy. We think of him being a shepherd boy who became the greatest king of Israel, the one who God said of him that he felt the heart of God. He looked on him as someone who understood him. And yet, David's life was so rough. But I don't want us to take verse 4 here, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, as a down verse, as one where David was feeling down, because he was feeling he was rejoicing in this. He was feeling exalted. When we think of our own lives, our own experiences, do we sometimes feel down? Do we sometimes feel desperate? Do we feel sometimes so sad for our family that we can't help them because they're going through bad times? Is the things happening in our lives that hold us down, that drag us down, that we can't get out of our minds at times? We need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as David did. You know, Jesus in his lifetime met many people in desperate needs, but as the good shepherd, he met those needs, didn't he? Let's just think of one or two. The woman who had been ill for 12 years, he healed her by just touching his garment, the hem of his garment, and believing that he could heal her. In the same story, we read of Jairus, whose daughter was dying. Indeed, she had died. And yet Jesus turned his despair into joy by bringing her to life again. The man who lived among the tombs, his mind was wrecked by demons. Jesus not only freed him from being demon-possessed, but clothed him and gave him his dignity back again. And think of that very well-known story, the crowd who had followed Jesus all day and listened to him, listened to his wonderful words. At the end, he made it sure that they'd been fed spiritually, but they didn't go away feeling hungry physically, because he fed them by using the loaves and the fishes that were there on that day to feed the people. No one who came to or was brought to Jesus with a need did he turn away. As I say again, do you feel that things are very dark for you or a loved one at the moment? Then I have good news for you. If you trust in him and bring that need to him, you don't need to fear because he is with you. That's what the psalmist says here. I will fear no evil. There were things in his heart he feared, but when he could see evil against him, he knew that God was stronger, that God was greater than anything that man could bring against him. There was no need for him to fear, and there's no need for you to fear if your trust is in God. Even though you might be walking through dark times at the moment, God is with you and God loves you. You will not be left in darkness and despair, because the Lord is with you and will not leave you in the valley of despair, but will bring you through it. I like those words, really. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, whether this was death itself that he was bringing us through, or despairing times, desperate times in our lives, God will bring you through them, because he's with you. He's with you all the way. This is what the psalm says here, didn't it? I will fear no evil because you are with me. Things in life can be really tough, but when Jesus is with us, we will not fear, but face what lies ahead, because he has promised once we are his, he will never leave us or forsake us. This is the great promise from this psalm. In the presence of our shepherd, we will neither want, as we read in verse 1, or we will not fear, as we read in verse 4, because he is with us. And he will comfort us, it says in this verse. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We think of the rod that he had, which would guard against the enemy coming, or would perhaps at times be used to keep the sheep in under control. The creek which lovingly guarded them and guided them in his own ways, the way the shepherd wanted them to go. Whatever God is using to protect us or to be with us, we don't need to fear, because he is with us, and his rod and his staff, they're going to comfort us. They bring comfort to our lives. And now the scene changes once more, doesn't it, in this psalm? We are no longer sheep in a flock, but guests at a banquet. And I know some commentators, they take this and they say, well, it's just a continuation of the shepherd. It's us in the fold, and how the shepherd will lie across the gate and that. But I like to think of it as God's great provision for us. We are no longer sheep in a flock, but guests at a banquet. The Lord has prepared a lavish table before me. It's not a secret feast, but it's to be enjoyed, he says, in the presence of my enemies. I wonder if I've ever thought about that clearly. What does that mean, that it's in the presence of our enemies? Why does God not keep us secret away from our enemies? Why does God not put a fence around us, keeping our enemies away from us and keeping us safe? Well, no, he's laid out this lavish table. It speaks of really of the great blessings of God. When we come to know the Lord, we're told that the world will be against us, that it will. Jesus said that the world would hate us. But through us, they will always be aware of the goodness and the greatness of God. If you are really living your life for God, if you're letting God speak through you and live through you, he will show to those in this world who are against him and against us of his great glory. And who knows how they're going to react to that, to believe in that. Don't forget the Lord is with you in all circumstances of your life. And if you truly live for him, then others will see the wonderful difference in your life that only Jesus can make, that only God can make. It says that he anoints your head with oil. In other words, he has made you his very own. It's like we think of the prodigal son coming back to his father, how he put the best robe on him. He anointed him with oil. He gave him the best that he had. He was saying to everyone, this is my son. He's the lad who belongs to me. And God will say the same to those around us who perhaps be against us or not take any notice of what we're trying to tell them. If we live for him, then he will show that we belong to God himself, and we really are his. And one day they can be his as well if they'll only trust in him. Then he says that his cup runs over. You know, God blesses in such a tremendous way that we'll never be able to contain all that God gives us. His blessings are enough and sufficient for us, but also they overflow so that others might be blessed as well. And if we really follow him as our shepherd, if we really know him in this way, and God is looking after us and watching over us, then our cup will run over, and others, if they would only trust in him. And maybe there's someone here today, you never committed your life to the Lord, but if you do, then you too will know these wonderful blessings that he alone can give to us. Then we have this beautiful promise from the Lord himself. Surely goodness and love, or in the Old Testament it says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Whatever we have come in our lives, never forget the Lord's promise. If he is your shepherd, to be with you always, and that takes you right into his presence, to be with him forever. Yes, you know, he's not just with us in this life. When he promises he will always be close to you, he means right throughout eternity. In John 14, we read that Jesus had gone to prepare a place in his Father's house for us, and one day he's going to come back to take us there himself and to be with himself. And as David says here, we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This psalm speaks of three I ams, or with things that we receive. First of all, it says that we will never want. It says we will never fear. And then it says we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, God is never going to leave you or forsake you. If you belong to him, if the Lord is your shepherd, if he's your saviour, make sure that he is this morning, won't you? If you want to know more about the Good Shepherd, just speak to one of us afterwards. It will be always our joy to talk to you about him and to tell you how you can find him for your own. If there's anything else you want to discuss with one of the elders or with a friend here, just feel free to do that. Amen. Well, we're going to sing our closing hymn.